Luke chapter 7, let's start from verse. If you do not fear, I'll give you the nations. Because nations are given via dreams. If God is going to give you the nation, He gives you a dream. He gives you a vision. If the enemy is going to take away the nation from you, He gives you a meal. When God is going to give you a nation, what does He give you? He gives you a dream. When Satan is going to give you, He's going to take away a nation from you, He gives you porridge. Yeah. And that's the story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob had a dream in his spirit. He knew the value and importance of the birthright. Esau worshipped his hunger. Anytime you worship your present condition and live for your present condition, you lose nations. But if you can, regardless of what you're going through, remain and stay steadfast in the dream, you get a nation. Are you with me? And the enemy also wanted to give Jesus a meal and take the nations away from him. And says, while he hungered, he told him, convert the stone to bread. If he had done that, he would have got a meal, but lost the universe. But Jesus Christ said, yes, I'm hungry, but man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By the word that proceeds after God's mouth. That's the origin of a dream. It is the speaking of God into your spirit. That's a dream. A dream is not just frivolous ambition. It is the resounding of God's voice in your human spirit. Are you together with me? And you just know that you are more than this. You are more than the next page check. So, we'll look at Luke chapter 7. We'll start from verse 36. Now, I'll just read this story and just preach from the story and we'll be good. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the house and went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. That's a very beautiful description. A woman in the city who was a sinner. Imagine you have an identity that there's no need for argument. The things we should not be arguing are people's gender. Say, a woman, a boy, a boy. But for this one, they are their sinner and they see no argument. So you can understand that this one is original. Nobody's arguing it. It's part of our identity. A woman who was a sinner. It's not like the Pharisees know a sinner. It's not like there are not many sinners there. But this one. He says, and there was a man, M.C. Oluomo, who was a thug. You know, there will not be. Thus, she had institutionalized sin. The assumption here was that she was a known prostitute. Yeah, not just prostitute by day or prostitute by night. It was a full-time one, day and night, no shift. So, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alab. Are you ready for today? I don't know if you are ready for today. Brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet, behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. You can understand that this is anointed type of cry. The type of cry that is so much that it is enough to wash somebody's leg. This is serious. And wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. All right? Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, and that's the mystery of Jesus Christ, that you assume that you were the one who invited him. But this our Lord, regardless of who invited him, he has intention to meet with everyone. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? There was another person who invited him to come and heal his daughter. You remember that story? But that woman collected her healing before the person that paid for flight ticket got. Beautiful, right?
Yes, sir.
Beautiful.
Yes, sir.
So beautiful. I like this Jesus, that there is no group of people that can monopolize him.
Yes, sir.
If you guys have enough funds to organize a conference, don't think he came for only you, the organizers. Anybody who can reach him, he's ready to meet with them.
Yes, sir.
And now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man. You get the point now. And that is, this is how we must do ministry. We must do ministry in a way where we are so down to earth and we engage people expect us not to engage,
yes,
that they are shocked if we are still men of God. You get the point? A lot of you are too organized for the move of God to pass through you. And then you like your dignity and you don't like to for usher to rob you. And that's why you don't have any type of testimony. Because there are some class of people you want to roll with. So that people can know you are a man of God. Even when they ask you to just talk normal talk, and they don't give you a microphone, you will quickly turn your hand to microphone. Because you are so organized, you like it, you will change your voice. You had a tiny voice, but they just said, please, can you pray for us over this food? Immediately you remember that you have a calling. And you say, dear God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who, you just be beginning to talk nonsense. You see, because we like to look like what we are not. So Jesus put himself in a place where, because the Pharisees brought him based on respect. By the time the Pharisees saw the way he's behaving, he said, this man, where's the woman? This. We must learn to condescend with people of low estate. Let me say this to you. It is not Christ-like if we only attract the higher mighty in the society. It's not the spirit of glory. If the poor don't have access to us, we are getting it wrong. I know what I'm talking about. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
If we make it difficult for the poor, if this gospel, you see, when he spoke about how the Holy Spirit has anointed him, one of the qualities of that anointing and one of the results of that anointing is that the poor hear the gospel. Yeah. After talking about the blind is seeing, the lame is walking, he said the poor can now hear the gospel because the gospel is so precious that the rich will like the poor not to hear. But Jesus Christ says the fruit of the anointing is that the poor can now hear. Are we together now?
Yes, sir.
And so you have to be careful how you over what? What's the word now? You just have to be careful. Our houses, our religious houses have to be careful how we set up the structure, the social structure, the atmosphere.
Yes, sir.
must not push away the poor.
Yes, sir.
The atmosphere must make the poor comfortable because we're missing a major part of the anointing. Are we together here?
Yes,
are we here?
Yes,
and the only way we can make that happen is to make it simple. Because the language of the poor is simplicity, which is the language of our God.
Yes,
am I preaching here?
Yes,
simplicity. If we complicate everything and have too many bodyguards in our halls, there's going to be trouble. And have everything look so plastic, we will not allow the poor hear this gospel. We have to run away. Pastor Dara, are you listening to me? We have to build our structure in a way where we take out unnecessary complications, unnecessary bureaucracy. I've not found the right word. I'm looking for a word. I've not found it. But we must not give it exaltations that are not needed.
Yeah.
Are we here?
Yes, sir.
And so, eventually, Jesus has got himself embarrassed. He was invited on the basis of respect. But when they saw that the people the guy was relating with, how he was allowing them to relate with him, he said, this man, if you were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is, who is touching him. For she is a sinner. Now, he said this one to himself, but Jesus said to him. He said to himself, but Jesus said to him. Yeah, I hear what they talk. And so it's not a new thing for those of you that say, was as if pastor was just talking about me. This is my master. I learned it from him. Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, Tisha, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii. The other 50. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, what is the name of the one who owed 500?
Debtor.
Debtor. The one who owed 50, what's his name?
Debtor.
So, 50 denarii doesn't change your name from what?
Debtor.
And 500 denarii doesn't mean that you are still what? Debtor. They are both under the same bracket. And when they had nothing which to repay. So, we need to understand these things. That the points here, two points here, one is owing 500. Another is owing 50. But that's not the main point. That you would think the one owing 500 is the one who is owing the most. And you think the one who is owing 50 is not owing more. That's not the point. The point is the one owing 500 has zero. He can't repay 10. So, aside from their debt, their current state is zero. So, if you look at it only from their debt, you will think one is owing more than the other. But if you look at it on the basis of their capacity, you will find out that they are both zero beings. That not just that one is owing more or less, is that both do not have capacity to repay. So they are both eternal debtors. Even if you are owing two, the challenge is not what you owe. The challenge is that you don't have capacity to produce repayment. No payment plan. If we say pay in 500 years, you still cannot pay because it is total now. Zero. Zero. You see, because sometimes some of you think you are not as bad as other people.
Yeah.
But you're little bad. Can you pay little righteousness?
Oh.
So, guys, it's not about how bad or how not bad you are. It's about what righteousness can you produce.
Yes,
now, he freely forgave them both. Friends, the forgiveness was the same. Because the forgiveness was not hinged on how much they owe. He forgave because they both have the same zero capacity to repay. Ah, Radivaya. And because if they don't pay, they are both debtors. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who who he forgave more. He said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? So, he said, Simon, let me now explain. Do you see this woman? He was going to talk about this woman, but he started with Simon. Do you see this woman? Let me start with you. I will use you to explain this woman. I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. Because I'm a rabbi. You too, you're a rabbi. rabbi. You get the point now? He just thought, both of us nashifun. We're both masters.
Yeah.
Wow. You don't know Shifu. You don't know what Chinese you. It's a Shifu. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil. Because the Pharisee thought he was something. Pharisee thought, I'm not that bad. He didn't receive Jesus as a sinner. He received Jesus as a co-laborer, as a partner. You have to be careful how you receive this Jesus. You have to be careful. And the way we know how you receive him is the way you look at others. When you can see how undeserving others are, it's because you thought you was deserving. And that was what he was trying to explain. He said, you are a big boy. A big boy. You know, some of you here are big boys. Yeah. Big boys. And some of you here, you go to church anytime you like. Yeah. Because now you have matured. You have come to sonship. What you want to enter is fatherhood. Yeah, you're a big boy. I'm telling you the truth. You're a big boy. And when you see another person who is very crazy about church, just say, calm down now. We have done it before. Honestly, it will soon, you will soon calm down. Devils. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. Since the time I came in, you did not anoint my head with oil. But this woman, so you can see that the honor you refuse to give Jesus is not because he's not wanting it. Is only going to relate with you at the level you choose to relate with him. It doesn't mean there's no room for more brokenness. And the reason is that you have an assumption that you have arrived. I tell you the truth, some of you have an assumption that you are something. I tell you the truth. Because you don't need to lie. You don't need to smoke Igbo. You are not smoking weed. You are not. It's just once a while you can just do one little thing, but even after that, you ask for forgiveness. So you are not that terrible. And so you don't really need that much seriousness like that. But how can you pay for the little debt that you owe? You have zero. But this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, as sins, which are many, are forgiven. Praise God. So, having a front that you are okay is not what makes you okay. But acknowledging wherever you are, and seeing the beauty of Jesus and how better and how greater he is than you,
yes,
is what causes you to receive forgiveness. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
One of the things I want to teach us today is how to enjoy receiving from God. Enjoy it. And one of the things this scripture is teaching us to receive is forgiveness. And anytime you think you are not in need of forgiveness, is that you have an assumption of righteousness.
Yes,
am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
With an assumption. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
She received. Let's read. It says, therefore I say to you, our sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven. Now, that word little is forgiven, it's not that God decided to forgive little, but to him who thinks he has just little to be forgiven of. He said the effect of that is that that person also will love little. So the reason why you are not serving God with reckless abandon is because you didn't know you were a wreck and a wretched person before. If you knew you were wretched, you will know you can't live for yourself again. Now, the reason you are still living for yourself is that you think there's still value in this your life. But by the time you are aware that you have no value, then you understand that the least you can do is to waste it on him.
Yes.
You see, all this your organized corporate Christianity that you are doing is because you think you are a big boy.
Yes.
You are not yet sure that you are deserving of hell. You are not yet sure. You think there is something spectacular about you. You get the point now. Your beards are right. Your cologne is sharp. You have a great job. Things are working fine. In fact, some of you even think that you are an addition. You are the one making the church nice. You know, just said, let me just go to that. I like that guy. I like what that guy is doing. Let's encourage him. I've been encouraged before I came. Because you think there's something about you. But you know what Jesus Christ says? That woman, she took her identity as a me, confirmed sinner. But guess what? In the eye of God, both the sinner and the Pharisee, they have zero to repay. So sometimes you look at yourself from the point of, I've not done too many bad things. But the question is, what good can you do? What good can you do that God can say you are good? None of us. There is none of us that can practice a type of good that will be righteousness. He says all our righteousness is as filthy rags to him. So it's not about how great we have been, we have been lost in sin. It's about our incapacity to produce righteousness. Friends, I'm completely worthless if he didn't come for me. The only worth, anytime you find worth in my life, is that space that he has filled. Anywhere he has not filled is useless. That Pharisee invited Jesus as Rabbi, Rabbi. Unconsciously, you are doing the same thing. I tell you the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. You are doing the same. You don't know. You are too big. A lot of you here, you are big. I'm telling you, Jesus is respecting you. I'm telling you, a lot of you are big. You and Jesus are mates. You even carry the phone and type. You will talk about Jesus' wife. The church.
That's it. The church needs to work on herself. The pastors are just... I'm tired of the church. You saw the one that went viral recently. The guy put earring in his ear and they told him to go outside. The guy said, we will meet in here. He said, something's useless. He said, can you imagine? I went to a church. They asked me to leave because I put earring. Walkie. He put it.
Because he thinks he is something.
Yeah.
He thinks the guy, he's like that Pharisee. It just said, okay, I went to church for my friend's wedding. What would I be doing there if my friend was not getting married? Just to remove your ego. Just your ego. It didn't come from, it wasn't, that's not how you came out of your mother's womb. Just to remove your ring. He thinks he's something. A lot of you are like that. Some of you even decide how many times in a year you go to church. You just decide. Some pastors wait for you 31st to collect your offering. Because you think you're, because you don't really appreciate how wretched you are. Wretched. Very extremely wretched. There is no value coming from you that heaven reckons with. The only thing heaven can receive from you is what heaven put inside you. You cannot by yourself take anything to heaven that counts. You are that worthless, useless. Listen, you were useless beyond repair. That they had to get, you couldn't even die for it. You were so useless that your death was useless to you. You couldn't die to save yourself. They had to get somebody to die on your behalf. If you died for yourself on the cross, you are still a useless person. You can't even pay for your sin. We couldn't pay. If God says, oh yeah, pay, we couldn't. He had to come and pretend as if he's us. And say, it's me, oh, it's me. It's zero balance, all of us. Zero. Zero. He's zero, not even zero. He's zero, the Yoruba kind of zero. Do you get the point? Relax. We couldn't die for ourselves. If God says, oh, you are paying for your sin, we couldn't pay. We were that lost and gone. No thought of righteousness could come out of us. If you burn us, it won't be sweet smelling savour. If you put fire on your body, literally, no sweet smelling savour. Rams were doing better. You will sin in the old covenant. They will get a ram to burn ram. Ram was giving God sweet smelling savour. God says, I regretted creating these guys worthless, useless. But get what? His love and his attraction was still upon us. He kept it there and sent his son to go there on our behalf. And so next time he agrees to visit you, it's not because you are qualified. The Pharisee thought he was qualified. And so next time you see all this, your beauty, oh God, you can go in the next 1 second. Yes. Somebody asked a question. A stage 4 cancer person. And the person that went to visit the person. Who will die first? We don't know. You can carry food to somebody who has stage 4 cancer about to die. And when you drop the food as you are coming out, car will jam you. Yes. And you will go. You don't know who will die first. James said that we are like vapor. You know what it means to what vapor means? Boiling water. Not the water. You are not the water. You are. He says the whole life is as vapor. Not the water is the vapor. That when you can still see the water, that's not you. That's the upgrade. We need to burn it, then it will not go. Then that's you. Today is there. Tomorrow, he says, the Bible says we should not say, I will do this today, I will do this tomorrow. He said, how are you sure? He said, how are you sure that there's plan for you to have tomorrow? You can't even decide the next minute. You can go and nobody knew what took you. No explanation. You can go without explanation. You can just die. They say, he died. What did him? He died. Gabriel, zero. Zero, Gabriel. Zero. When you have this understanding, then you will learn automatically every good that you have, you would attribute it to the Lord. Yes. That's what happens. It's the Lord, though. It's not your brain. Because if you say it's your brain, who gave you the brain? If you say it's your brain, what technology are you using to make it work? It's the Lord. Then you can know that I've been forgiven much. Yes. If you can capture how much you have been forgiven, yes, it will increase your love. Yes. If you capture how much you have been forgiven, then you can love others more.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And then you will find out that there is no one person on earth that you are better than.
Yes.
Nobody. Woo. Nobody. If you like, talk about the five laws you are using that is making your life move forward. Some people are using it. Their life is not moving forward.
Yes.
It's not the law.
Yes, sir.
It is when grace has come upon you, yes, that you think you have explanation for why,
yes,
things are working.
Yes, sir.
It's grace behind the scene. If they remove the plug of grace, you will find out that it's not three piece.
Yes.
So, you know, my success is about it's three piece. That perspiring, penetration, and peculiarity. You see, this is important to God, because we have seen God turn the whole Nebuchadnezzar. He turned him to an animal to be eating grass for 7 years. Just because the guy thought that he is the one that won, and God was using him to do so. God was the one rebuking Israel. And he sent him to, he's not thought he's the one conquering. He said, you conquer. You. Oh, yeah, go in grass. Go in grass. And by the time the guy finished eating grass, he started giving God praise. I said, there is one God who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But you do not have to eat grass. You will eat the word. That's what I'm preaching to you. Can I preach here?
Yes.
Where's my no more revelations? It's not from my mind. I'm saying it, Macaulay. Are we together? Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. All right. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. What was her faith? What was her faith? Her faith was an acknowledgement of how worthless she is. Are you together with me? And she mixed it to how worthy he is. That's when it's faith. If you stay in how worthless you are, devils will take over depression. So staying on how worthless you are is not the message. It's that I'm worthless, but he's worthy. And he's willing to accept my worthlessness as sacrifice. If I can say I'm worthless and agree that I'm worthless, he will transfer his worthiness upon me. And so all the worthiness that we have was the one he gave. He gave it. Are we here?
Yes,
you know what that does to you? Can I preach here?
Yes, sir.
Gabriel, get up. Gabriel, what this does to you is that, Gabriel, I'm your friend. Please, I'm your friend. Don't ever forget that I'm your friend, because your season has opened. Me, I'm, see, let me tell you, I'm your pastor. I'm your friend, one of the oldest ones. I'm your encourager. I'm many things. So when you're bringing the offerings, it has to be in all those. You understand? All those baskets. And even Loretta, you know, many of these I'm preaching is why you are enjoying your marriage. You understand? Loretta is listening to me. Loretta, you get it? So you have to be telling him good things. Loretta, are we together? Thank you. I appreciate you. See, friends, when you understand this, you won't beat yourself too much for your failures in the past. The reason you beat yourself too much is that you think righteousness can come from you. A lot of you beat yourself too much from your failures of the past because you think you were made to produce righteousness and you think you failed. You didn't fail. You are a failure. You are a failure from the start. And the plan was not to get you to be a success. You can't be a success. Paul says, nothing good comes out of me. So it is arrogance to be down because of your past failures. Because the reason you are down is that you thought you could be good.
You have zero balance, eh? So it is arrogance to beat yourself in the past failures that you have made. No, come to him and tell him, God, that is not mistake, it's me. Some of you even take, oh God, I made mistake because you thought that you were something. That it has to, you have to make a mistake to fail. You did not make mistake, or you are a failure. You did not make mistake. You know what you are doing. You are a bad person. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. I didn't even have a chance to do right. And Satan lies to you and tells you that you could have done good. And then you now begin to feel terrible for your past. But that woman came and said, sinner! Then she was able to receive forgiveness and an impartation of righteousness. And so next time that woman sees another sinner, she won't think she's better. And then she would always have hope and room for anyone. The reason you are full of irritation for the sinners you see on the street is that you are thinking you are good. You think you are better. You are failure. Failure. That's his army. Generation of failures. That's the people he went to choose. And the reason he did that is because he is God. If he pours himself inside us, that's all. We did not have the need to bring anything to the table. Can I preach here? Can I preach here?
Yes,
see, if we want to play a football match here, if you pick 10 of the best players here, if Messi, or five aside, you pick 4 best players here. If Messi picks all the guests, 3 guests, Messi just joined 3 guests, and then you have all the best boys, we'll go and play 5 aside, Messi will beat us.
Yes.
Messi does not need to add skillful people to his team,
yes,
because he's Messi. So God does not need your righteousness. His righteousness is enough. And it completes us. And then that righteousness now begins to rewire us. And so the next time you do an act of righteousness, it's not you, it's him. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I. That was the mystery. He said, I live. He just remember, yet not I. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. Are we together here? Can I talk to you? So we need to learn to receive from God. And how do we receive? We know that we have nothing. And except he fills us, we can't be filled. And friend, it's not only at the level of forgiveness of sin. Even prosperity. Because a lot of you get blessed and you think it's enough. Because you compare yourself to your father. And you are just a bit better than your dad. And now you think it's enough. No. Because you think it was your hard work. And you think you are now tired. And say, let me just relax. God has tried. I just want to play too. And buy a plot of land in Mowi. And struggle and build it. And say, we now have a house. We are no more paying rent. Because you thought it was your strength. And then you decide when to stop.
Wow.
But there was a guy who did that one day. His barn was full. He said, now I can rest. The guy said, you want to rest? Did I tell you I'm done blessing you? Okay. Die now. You will die. You will not wake up. That was what Jesus Christ did. That guy did not wake up the next day. He says, tonight your soul will be required of you. That is to say, the assumption that you worked hard to fill your barn. That soul, I was the one that gave it to you. So this harvest, I gave it to you. You need to ask me, am I done? Hey. So Pastor Obi, it's unrighteousness as a church for us to think our wall has been, that we are filled. Which church did you feel? Were you the one who filled it? Until he says it's enough, it's not enough. So those walls, we break it. We will keep expanding. We will keep receiving. Because we know that what we have, we didn't work for it. He gave it to us. And so it is unrighteous not to ask for more. It's unrighteous. It's unrighteous. Relax, it's unrighteous.
You see, because the reason why we don't ask for more is because we have an assumption that we have reached our capacity. Who told you about capacity? It's grace. It's grace. So the deeper your emptiness, then the more your capacity to receive. So don't let what he gives you fill you. Don't let it fill you. Whatever he gives you, let it remind you of your emptiness so that you can keep making room for him. How? He says, listen, mystery. They ask Jesus, how can we be filled with righteousness? He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Then they shall be filled. Mystery. Hunger and thirst. Then they shall what? Be filled. Hunger and thirst. And they shall be filled. So the way to be filled is to hunger and thirst. So it means that you never stop on getting hungry. And so the sign of filling is your hunger and your thirst. So when your hunger and your thirst are stopped, it means your desire for righteousness has ended. So for us to know that you still desire righteousness, you must maintain the hunger. So whatever God has given you, keep being hungry. It's not a sign of being ungrateful. It's actually a sign of your own emptiness. Want more? I said more. More. More, Lord. More, Lord. We can't say we are tired. How can we be tired? We didn't work for it. Are we together here? Let me begin to tie everything now. So, when you know that you have been forgiven, then you love more. When you have been forgiven much, when you have received much, you'll be able to give. So your graciousness is hinged on how much you have received. So if you haven't received well enough, you can't be gracious. Have you seen wicked souls who want people to go through the pain that they went through before they got blessed? Why? Because they have an assumption that it was their hustle and their stress that gave them the blessing. And so they're a bad example. So when they can release grace to people, they don't release it. They say, let him suffer. In fact, some say, if he does not suffer for it, he will not appreciate it. Not knowing that your other colleague suffered more than you, but never got it. If suffering was a sure way of getting it, nobody will still be suffering. You see, prosperity is not a reward of suffering. Because if it was, everybody would be prosperous. Suffering is the reward of the fall. So everybody is going through it. But when greatness comes your way, it's because grace came your way. And so when you can acknowledge that grace, it helps you to be gracious to others. So the reason we are not gracious to others is because we think that we are something. But today your level of graciousness is going to another level because you are acknowledging that you're nothing. Are we here? Why do you have to acknowledge and why do you have to receive more from God? Because that's the only way you can give God glory. Yeah, that's the way you can give God glory. The Bible spoke about the gift of a particular church in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And it says, through their giving, it says, much glory has gone to God. Are you together with me? God wants to bless you because of glory. And he wants to show you the pattern so that you can release grace. You can be gracious to others. Yeah. May you understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. Listen, you need to be gracious to others in a way where they will be sure that God is good. Yes. You get my point? So it means that I'm going to release grace to you and give you what you don't deserve. Yeah. And the reason is that I need to let you know that God is good. If we don't understand this, we can't bring the goodness of God to our nation, to people around us. Listen, God will begin to inspire you to do so much good to people who appear not to deserve it. Because you'll find out that was how he blessed you. The undeserving you. Are you together with me? Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. You know what this good God does to us this way? There's a way this attitude of God enlarges our hearts. Okay, let me ask you a question. The next time this sinner sees another sinner, how will this sinner receive another sinner? This is why. So it means that this woman is a more ministry material than a Pharisee. This woman will never disqualify anybody. This woman, her standard is low. Low standard. Yes. Anybody can be saved.
Yes.
But the Pharisee has high standard. A lot of you have high standard. And the reason is not because you are special. It's just because you don't know. You are not aware of where he picked you from. You forgot. You too can say all these useless children. You too. You. My emptiness motivates my God. My emptiness motivates him. Righteousness is released. Goodness is released. I don't have to tell him I made a mistake. I tell him, man, this is who I am. But the beauty of it is I know who you are. Yeah. And you know, in another place, Jesus Christ told us that this is the gospel. He said there is no place the gospel is preached that this story will not be said. So this is the gospel. It is how the full God filled empty people. And those empty people remained empty, even though they were filled with God. Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. In the peace that he wrought in her. Are you together with me? I'm done. I'm looking for how to wrap up all this talk that I'm talking to you. What's your point? What's the point? There are several points I've raised today. One of them being that your emptiness does not disqualify you. It actually attracts God. Attracts God. And there is nobody too empty for God to receive. The Pharisee came as a mate with Jesus. That sinner came as a sinner. And eventually she was the one who the story was about. The Pharisee must have been happy that Jesus is teaching him one or two things. But those two debtors, he was that one who thinks he's not owing so much. But the question is, can he repay? The second thing I want to say to you is that God is going to bless you more and more and more and more. More and more. That is not yet enough. Are you with me? I said it's not yet enough. And not just that God will bless you, he's going to use you as a vessel. Okay, this is where I'm stopping. He's going to use you as a vessel to bless others. But not just as a vessel of blessing, also as a pattern. So you will bless others as he blessed you. You know, that's where he condemned husbands to. He says, husbands, you now begin to learn to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Hey, yeah. So if you don't even understand how Christ loves the church, you will fail. Are you with me? So it means that there is no wife that is too terrible to be loved. Because there is no wife worse than the church. There is no girl in this place that is more troublesome than the body of Christ. And you know, before he even saved us, he has loved us. Your wife is not worse than the fallen nation, creation. If God can love the fallen creation, that baby is too good. So you can't go and face God and say, God, look at the wife that you gave me. Say, Jesus, look at the wife that you gave me. Jesus will say, look at the church God gave me. See? So it becomes a pattern. So when you understand what he has forgiven you of and understand how he has blessed you, it becomes a pattern on how you bless others. So your rope is long and your fuse is long. Not any small thing, your fuse cut. Any small thing you give up. Are you together with me? So, why bless people? I said, why bless people? And why bless him? Can you thank God for that? Come on, let's do that in 5 minutes. Thank God. We are blessed. Elegado Saladina. You are blessed. Come on, 5 minutes. Ah, yes. He has done so much for me, I cannot tell you.
with the whole of your heart, you are going to fellowship with this song. And the emphasis, it was Yahweh. You look at every good in your life and we give it back to Him. And we're going to do that with the whole of our hearts and fill this room with gratitude, with praise, and with complete surrender. It was Yahweh who called me.
It was Yahweh who chose me. It was Yahweh, He gave me. It was Yahweh, He said yes and amen.
Yes.
Everything for us by his blood. He's giving us life and all that pertains to life and godliness. As he has been kind to you, now you should be kind to others. Thank you, Jesus.